February 8th, 2024. More than a prophet. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing. Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11:7-14. Now John was very open and bold for Christ. He pointed people constantly to him. He said, He must increase, and I must decrease. And he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And if we reread Matthew 10:33, as we heard a couple days ago, we will hear, So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is interesting and kind of fascinating in the light of this passage, because we see Jesus openly acknowledging John to be more than a prophet. He even kind of boasts about him. And there is a sweetness in this. We can have a sneak peek into Christ's willingness to not just acknowledge John before men, but one day, us before the Father. We hear Christ asking, What did you go out to the wilderness to see? Meaning, if John was nobody, why was everyone going to him? Then he asked, A reed shaken by the wind. Or was he timid? No, he was bold, unwavering in the truth. Then he mentioned soft clothing or king's clothing. Was he worldly? Was he into riches and living in the midst of wealth? No. If they went out to see him for those reasons, they were very wrong. Their assumptions were very wrong. John was a man set on the face of God, a preacher that demanded repentance. He wasn't afraid of kings. Like I mentioned a day ago, he confronted Herod to his face for his relationship. He wasn't afraid of making men angry. He wanted them to see their sins and turn from them. What a lesson that is for us, though. He was more than a prophet. Why? Why was he more than a prophet? Well, because Old Testament prophets only had a glimpse of Christ. John declared and saw Christ face to face. He was a witness. The Old Testament prophets foretold of the Lamb. John says, Behold the Lamb. Jesus loved John. You can see it in how highly he speaks of him here. But here are a few things to consider about this that I want to bring to your attention. My thoughts. Number one, a Christ who is ready to honor his people. We can see clearly that the Christ we know and serve is compassionate and attentive in our work. This was mentioned the other day, and it's a lesson to hear again and again, and I think it's brought up again and again to encourage us, to make us know that our Christ is attentive. He sees. Because he sees our lives and he sees our character. He sees our boldness and our passion. We must again remind ourselves that our service will not go unnoticed. John was in the wilderness preaching. So should we not believe that even if we are in the rivers of Africa preaching the gospel, we are seen? Our Lord is ready to honor us in all that we have done before men and before his Father. This should motivate us in any service That's why I want to encourage you, get working, do something. Whether you are a janitor, a mechanic, a stay-at-home mom, a librarian, a trash man, a doctor, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, the guy who just helps people try on shoes, or any other thing you do as a Christ-loving individual. The work is noticed. It's honored. So share Christ. So number one, a Christ who is ready to honor his people. It needs to be repeated over and over again to your heart. Number two, men of character. You should also see the two traits about John and consider them. The ones that Jesus point out. Number one, bold, not shaken, not a shaken reed. And number two, not worldly, not dressed in soft clothing. He wasn't a man of kings. And what two of the best characteristics to have said about him and us? Let's take risk for Christ. Speak up against the wrong of kings. Be in the face of the Herods. Not to be insulting, but to bring bring to repentance. Let us not be swept up in petty hobbies and pursuits, which we are easily swept up in. Let us not seek to be rich in worldly terms, but rich toward God. We must see that laboring for Christ is never unnoticed. So let's take risk. We must be men of character. We need bold men. We need focused men. It's easy to fall for the worldly pursuits. We have to earn money and pay our mortgages. We have to put food on the table. These are important things. We probably aren't all going to stand in the wilderness like John. We aren't John. Don't hear me say, we need to be Johns. Don't hear me say that. You're not John the Baptist. But John's focus and his character are ones to set our hearts on. If Christ takes notice of them, why would we think we should overlook them? This honors Christ. Christ wouldn't have brought it up if it wasn't important, if it wasn't something honorable. So let us read our Bibles. Let's be men of prayer. Let's be faithful husbands. When we're doing sketchy stuff, let us get past that stuff on the internet. We need to face that head on. Get help. Let us be honest. And I talk mainly to the men that hear this podcast. Not so much the women, because the men have a larger responsibility. The women will follow faithful men. We don't need more shipwrecked preachers and husbands. We need men of character. Bold men, and not worldly men. Focused men. Godly men. Men of the word. Creatures of the word. We need men of character. That's number two. Men of character. Number three. John proclaimed, but we will enter. We hear him say, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, John prepared the way for Christ. This is a very highly favored thing to be called to do. But to be in the kingdom is something of greater honor. Indeed, John is in the kingdom. And it's good to preach the gospel. Very good. It's good to go to church. Very good. But to enter the kingdom, that's what matters. To hear the message, that's what matters. To accept the message. To have ears that hear. To listen to John's call to behold the Lamb of God. Do you hear it in your ears? Can you hear that call? You see, the gospel is that you and I are rebelling against God. This is very important. We want our own way. We love his stuff more than him. We work hard and never recognize he gives us the power to live and move and have our being. We think we did that. We think if we eat healthy, eat our vegetables, drink our milk, eat our meats, you know. We did that. We wake up every day. We keep our heart pumping. If we don't eat healthy, we'll die. Well, Christ keeps you alive. You don't die early, and you don't die late. You die when he wants you to. And we think we do everything ourselves. We don't acknowledge him. We wish he wasn't real. We suppress the truth so that way we can live in all the pleasure we can consume, even when he says it's evil. And we laugh at that. We laugh a lot at that. We are desperately wicked, and we call ourselves good. Everything is crashing around us, and we say, well, you know what? We're basically good. We are desperately deceived. And the fact is that all our trying to be better, working hard, and thinking that we can fix our wrongs with God is a lie. We can't. You can't fix yourself. You're never going to earn God's favor by yourself. The Bible says your acts are as filthy rags, menstrual rags. In fact, going to church doesn't make us right with God. Giving to the guy on the corner doesn't make us right with God. Not even giving to your church makes you right with God. Not being a pastor makes you right with God. Not being a missionary makes you right with God. We needed someone to take our punishment to be made right with God, so we can walk free. So we can be justified, made right, clean, purified. That's what we need. And that's exactly what Christ did. He took our place for the punishment we deserve. He was nailed on the cross. But we, guaranteed, were supposed to be nailed on that cross. We deserve the wrath of God. We are sinners. The sinners. Christ was innocent. He did nothing wrong. He lived a sinless life. The perfect Lamb of God. We should hear John's voice yelling in our ears, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he died in our place. That's what John is pointing to. The Lamb of God. He absorbed the wrath of God so we could have peace with God. And we must admit our sins and turn from them, repent from them, not keep dwelling in them. We must hate sin. We must hate the world. We must cling to Christ. We must see we can't earn God's favor, but we must trust in what Christ did for us. We must see Christ as our treasure. We must love him as our treasure. He must be our highest priority. He must be our everything. Nothing can compete with him. We must see him as our Lord. John did prepare the way for Christ, but if we ignore the message, we lose everything. Listen to the gospel, and if you hear it today, repent. Read your Bible and trust in Christ as your only way to make your life right with God, to cleanse you from all your sin. You're not going to be able to earn it. You can't go to church enough. You can't do anything enough. You need Christ. That's what this whole podcast is about. Treasure Christ above all. I've done drugs. I've done deep, deep drugs. I've been in terrible, terrible sin. And without Christ, my life would have ended with death, apart from God forever. And I wholeheartedly believe that. So that's why I beg you to trust in Christ today. He is all you need. Christ has prepared a way for salvation. Do we see this? Do you hear me? Those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. And with that, let us have a happy Thursday.